caused them to go forth out of the land of Egypt, and brought them into the wilderness. I said unto their children in the wilderness, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am Yahweh your God, and walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me, and they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths, and then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Wherefore, I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, Lord, I know I'm one. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, right here under the sun. Wrath is gonna fall on the ground you trod. You'll find nowhere to run. Sinners, sinners, sinners in the hands of an angry God. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. Lord, I know I'm one. Praise on the lips to an angry God, right here under the sun. Trample on the grace and the shame.
Foolish, we'll continue as if not.
nothing ever changes, wayward from our birth. If we are wise, we'll seek the law, lest he stay angry and destroy us, or scatter us again.
Candlelights burning low. Let's light another in the evening glow. Take a look around you, and before you know, we're gonna fall in love. Hold my hand, I'll hold yours. Pull a little closer, I'll close them doors. Maybe we'll remember what a kiss is for. We're gonna fall in love. And it's so fun to touch your fingertips, so wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips, feeling I can't hide. So dance with me, embrace the song. Nothing ever after in the world is wrong. When we are together, girl, you know we both belong. And we're gonna fall in love. Are those wedding bells I hear? Sure sounds like it. Play Mr. Fingers. It's so fun to touch your fingertips. So wonderful inside. Someone with such inviting lips, a feeling I can't hide. I'm not gonna try. So come with me, enjoy the view. Nothing is important, that's not part of you. Maybe you'll discover just what I'm coming to. We're gonna fall in love, baby, now. Sent from up above, we're gonna fall in love.
It's coming down, it's coming down. The new world order's training armies on our ground. With soldiers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at the enemy. I know a man who lives way up in Idaho, whose sole desire was only to be left alone. One day
day the federal troops showed up and shot his wife and son. It's coming down, it's all around. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue to aim the crosshairs of their guns at me and you. Way down upon a Waco, Texas farm, I saw the lawless law there flex its long, lean arm. Before the sealed search warrants could even be served, the ATF shot up the place. Some got what they deserve. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in black and blue. I bet their leaders think they're fooling me and you. Foreign troops, they train upon American soil. They hide and sneak around like snakes that slither in coil. And while the people turn their heads complacently, their federal income tax goes up to fund this tyranny. It's coming down, it's in your town. The New World Order's training armies on our ground. Stormtroopers dressed in blue and black, like the vicious dogs they are, they're training to attack. One day I met this fine old patriot while down at the county jail, who would not allow a friend of his to show and post his bail. And when I asked him, "What you in here for?" his eye stared straight through me. And then he said, "Young man, I'm in here for the sake of liberty." He said, "It starts the day you enter this old world of scoff and scorn, with a state-approved certificate to prove that you was born. Somehow the state believes without it that we might all just disappear. And if there's one thing true about a tyrant's rule, it's still his biggest fear. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through Lost Liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those papers after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore." He said, "I found myself inside this cell a week or so ago, when a law enforcement officer," he said he kidnapped him off the road, "when he asked to see my license, and my vehicle registration, and some proof I had insurance. That's when he thought he'd have some fun, and so he told that county officer. I don't mean to ridicule, but you should be smart enough to know this ain't no vehicle. 'Cause when your mode of transportation ain't for commercial purposes, you don't need no registration or insurance or licenses. You see, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through Lost Liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those contracts after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. Just 'cause I used to be 5-4-3-4-6-6-6-7-3. Don't mean the truth, you see. Can't set me free to be a son of liberty. You see, I'm almost not here anymore. I've dropped out through Lost Liberty's trapdoor. I've rescinded all those numbers after I learned what they was for. And me, I'm almost not here anymore. It ain't fiction, it's a fact. And I ain't never coming back until my congressman's behind these prison doors. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulent, leash of this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. Would you like to know the reasons why your taxes are so high? Would you like to know what fuels inflation every time you buy? Would you like to know who takes the biggest slice out of your pie? It's the Federal Reserve, and I'm here to tell you why. It's not that complicated to explain in layman terms. When something's really rotten, it is sure to crawl with worms. And that something really rotten happened in this nation's past. It's been feeding on our prosperity until now we're sinking fast. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulent, leash of this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. How would you like to print up money on your very own private press and loan it out to all your friends at staggering high interest? Bet it wouldn't take too long until you own the whole neighborhood. Well, that's what the Fed's been doing since our Congress said they could. Now, our Congress shirked their duty back in December 1913. That's when the value of our money changed from gold to inky green. And when they shrugged the Constitution off, they damned this nation's fate. It was a blatant violation of Article 1 and Section 8. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. You got the FBI, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission Agency, and they all have one thing in common, that is they're federal.
But here's one thing, if you haven't guessed. There ain't a thing federal about the Federal Express, and the only thing federal about the Reserve is that it's criminal! Now if I was to tell you that we're under martial law, and there ain't no sense in waiting for the final axe to fall, and that the money that we're spending's really military script, would you say that I've gone crazy? Or would you think that I've been hipped? Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. No, the Federal Reserve isn't federal.
It's just criminal
at all. Let's just dump it.
We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. Both me and both you. We gotta clean up the mess. This mess we've made. We gotta clean up the mess. Let's get our nation saved. This mess has been a festering far too long. This mess has been a carrying on and on. This mess has gotta be cleaned up here today. We can't live this way. We gotta clean up the mess. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a jailing you. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right. We gotta clean up the mess. Both day and both night. This mess has been a happening far and wide. This mess has been a hurting our nation's pride. This mess has gotta be cleaned up here today. We can't live this way. Clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. I'm a telling you. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's right. We gotta clean up the mess. Both day and both night. We gotta clean up the mess. You know that's true. We gotta clean up the mess. Both me and both you. We gotta clean up the mess. This mess we've made. We gotta clean up the mess. Let's get our nation saved.
El Shaddai, El Elyonah Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erechim Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. And by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. Praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contain the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 14th day of July, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is greed. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Kumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. On that website, there's a few pages that we want to draw your attention to. The Daily Mail page, where we put current events, whether it's medical or political information or having to do with the research that's going on and discovering a lot of new things about the lies that we have been told, especially about the scriptures and how we got to where we are today. So again, the Daily Mail page. On the home page, there's information on how you can help us out financially if you feel so led to do that. There is another page called the Contact Us page where you can send me a message if you don't have my personal contact information. Now, recently, a troll that occasionally comes onto this channel tried to send me something using the contact page, saying that I was in error when I said that the Welsh language was part of the Celtic group, along with, or even the Gaelic group, along with Scottish and Irish. And yet, when I go to the encyclopedia online, under the Welsh language, it says it is a member of the Brythonic group of the Celtic subfamily of the Indo-European family of languages. So, again, for the trolls and the shills that are out there, if you want to waste your time, go ahead and send them to me. It doesn't really bother me. We've been doing a lot of research for a very, very long time. And again, the idea that I'm perfect has never been stated on this program. In fact, I encourage everybody to double check not only myself, but anybody that tells you anything out there. I'm simply trying to get people to think, okay? Because from my experience, our people have lost the ability to do critical thinking. They've also lost their intestinal fortitude. They've lost their integrity. They've lost their morality. And quite a few of the men have lost their testosterone and their testicles. So it's time to get all of that back. Now, the good news is that the world does appear to be paying attention to the things that we talk about here and in other platforms where people are trying to talk about what is true versus what the mainstream is telling you. And when we say mainstream, we're talking about all the mainstream, whether it's the controlled corporate media, whether it's the corporate leaders themselves, whether it's the government, whether it's central banking, whether it's centralized education, and most certainly centralized, quote, religion. It was kind of funny. I was listening to a video that was exposing a lot of this, and they were using a lot of the terminology that we here in the identity circles have been using for many years now. But they were talking about the fact that these different people are using terms, and for some reason I just lost my thought there. Oh my gosh. Well, comes with age, I guess. But anyway, the things that we're bringing up here about the misconceptions and the lies and deceptions that we've been under for so long, it is now being exposed in many, many areas. And again, kudos to the identity people who have stuck to their guns here. And we've not backed down. We've not backed away. When we first started broadcasting almost 23 years ago, very few people were using his ancient Hebrew names of Yeshua or Yahshua, Yahweh or Yehovah. Not Jehovah, but Yahuwah, Yahweh, Yahweh, etc. And again, we don't have to agree on exact pronunciations because things change. You can go to different nations in this world today and my name is pronounced differently in every one of them. You can take standard words in American English and you can go to England and they pronounce it completely different. It's the same word, means the same thing, and it's spelt the same way. The pronunciation is slightly different. Okay? So until our Heavenly Father unifies a language for our people to where we pronounce all of the characters in the alphabet the exact same way, okay, we're going to have differences. So we can't split the sheets, so to speak, over pronunciation. You just can't go there. The main point of it is that our Heavenly Father has a sacred name and it means something. That's what's important. He's not a title. He's certainly not a pagan title like Baal or just God, as in little g God. Okay? He has a title. That title means that I am the Eternal One. In fact, we've talked about this many times, in the French Bibles that I've read, they call him L'Eternel. Okay? L apostrophe, which is le, L-E, le in French is the, but when you put it with a word that starts with a vowel, you drop the E just like you do in English. So it's L apostrophe E-T-E-R-N-A-L. And they pronounce it, we would call it the Eternal, they call it L'Eternel. So again, slight difference in pronunciation, but almost virtually the exact same word. The Eternal One. I think it's in German, he is known as Herr, with a capital H, H-E-R-R, meaning the Supreme One or our Heavenly Father, and Dios, or Dios, in Spanish, which comes very close to the Latin. So again, different words, different languages, but they're talking about our Heavenly Father, the Creator. And that's the important part we have to remember. We have a All-Father, is what some of our ancient ancestors referred to him as. Creator-Father, All-Father, just Father, with a capital F, of course. Meaning that he is the author of our creation. I just listened to a great interview between Dr. Lee Merritt, that I respect a lot, even though I don't agree with completely. Nobody do I agree with completely. But she was interviewing a Dr. Philip Glidden, and they had a magnificent interview. And at times, Dr. Glidden was saying some things that almost sounded like he is one of us. It was really kind of interesting. But he was talking about naturopathy and homeopathy, and how that is the way we should all be going and get away from this corporate monopoly over medicine in this country, because the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors are in bed with each other, and so is the government, to our chagrin, simply so that they can make lots and lots of money. And that's why I picked the title for tonight to talk, even though I've been gone for quite some time due to mostly technical and software problems and even hardware problems here lately, trying to get back on the air. But the title, or the subject for tonight was greed, because over the past couple weeks, I've been noticing more and more how greed seems to be at the root, as the scriptures tell us, and we're going to read that here in a minute. Greed is at the root of many of our problems. So before we get into that, I wanted to read John chapter 15, verse 10. This is the World English Bible. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Now, this is agape love, meaning benevolence, okay? Not a romantic type of love, but it's a brotherly love, agape love, okay? You will remain in my love or my care, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Okay, now this again is Yeshua, who came here as what? An example. He said, I have come as an example. Okay, when it says here, Father's commandments, we all think that Yeshua was saying he was the Son of God, literally the Son of God. But that word pater, which is very close to where the French get their word, and so do the Spanish, that does not always mean a direct descendant in the sense of earthly blood father. That's the way we think when we see the English word, but that's not what the Greek word meant. the Greek word, it could be your direct biological father, but it also could be a ancestor. Okay? Meaning somebody who was in the upline of you being here. And we all of Adam kind takes their lineage straight back to our Heavenly Father through Adam, who was a true, quote, what? Son, weos in the Greek, weos of the Father, pater. Now, we don't need to know the nuances of how all this works, okay? Because we have people that want to argue constantly about DNA and was it the literal Son of God and all this other malarkey. And it is malarkey because you can't prove it, I can't prove it, nobody can prove it, not till the time of his coming when he opens all of our eyes and reveals all of our eyes and reveals the things that have been hidden from us and restores our memory from when we're on the other side. So it's ridiculous to argue about all this. All we need to know is that the Father created Yahshua. Yahshua said of himself that he was here as an example and he was here as a redeemer. Messiah, it means anointed one. So does the Christos in Greek, where we get the word Christ. Okay, that's not a name. It is a description. He was the anointed Yahshua or Joshua in English, which that word means Yahweh saves. Yahshua. Yahshua. In the Hebrew tongue, Shua is part of the verb to save, much like soter in the Greek is the verb to save. Save from physical harm and danger. So he came here to tell us that we were on the wrong path and we had been driven off the right path by these same small hat wearing creatures that are destroying the world around us as we speak. And one of the tools that they're using to bring us down is greed. Love of money. It's not money. Money in itself is a tool. That's all it is. Money is a tool. It is the love or lusting of money that creates the problems. When you will sell yourself out, when you'll sell your character, your family, your prestige, your honor, your reputation, and sometimes even your own body, simply because you lust after money and the things that money buys. That's how the enemy has gotten us. Why do you think it is that when the Jews invade a country, and they do it by stealth. They don't do it by landing vehicles and tanks and ships and conquer a country. They do it stealthily. And they do it through the mercantile system and the banking system. Why do they do that? Why is it that they go in and they immediately infiltrate and take over in the world of banking? Why do you think that is? Because they understand this precept from the scripture. People and greed. That you can get many, many people to do exactly what you want simply by offering them money. People who are weak and have no moral interpretude and no moral character will succumb to greed. Greed is the equivalent, when you're talking about money, it's the equivalent to gluttony, which is another sin when you're talking about food. And drink. Gluttony is the abuse, the overindulgence in food and drink. Greed is the gluttony of commerce or money, where people will seek more and more, even though they really don't need it. And people are starting to get this. I'm seeing many more websites, many more content creators talking about getting back to the earth, growing our own food, living in communities where we take care of each other, getting rid of a lot of this high-tech bullshit that we don't need. It just constantly breaks quality control. That's something over the last 2 weeks, because of being around my brother and other family members and some of my friends, I can't tell you how many of us have bought brand new things, and everything from a high-end kitchen appliances to just a plain old single-speed bicycle. Doesn't matter. Every single one of them in the last 2 weeks that was delivered broken. Now, I remember when you could afford to order something, it typically came to you and it was in pretty good shape. You sure as hell didn't have a 100% failure rate. The bicycle came, it had defective inner tubes and both tires were flat. The high-end refrigerator came and it had to have a new compressor put in it immediately. The oven came and a circulating fan in the back is faulty and has to be replaced. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Took a older car to the dealership and wanted them to fix a few minor things, and they didn't want to bother with it. And so they said, well, it can't be done, or it would take too much, or whatever. The technician probably didn't want to mess with it or didn't have the training to know how to do it. See, the simple, easy things like mounting tires, balancing tires, or if the computer does the work for you, they'll do that for you real quick. But if it takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of thought, or they have to look up something in a book or a tech manual, they don't want to do it. So, again, quality control, which, interestingly enough, my brother, my earthly brother, that was his career. He was in the top echelon of quality control engineering for major corporations. In fact, he traveled all over the world, even helping other countries with their problems in the area of quality control. And so with his background plus mine in engineering, it was interesting as we were watching the fact that so many things are being built today with such low quality, either low quality workmanship or low quality materials. And yet you're paying through the nose for this stuff and it's not even good. Which is why I've reached the point in my life, and I'm not telling other people they have to do this, but for me, it's where I'm going to go. I'm looking to go low tech, what I call low tech. I want to go back to an old-fashioned automobile. I want to go back to a top-end loading washing machine that has maybe three adjustments for water level and maybe a three or four adjustments for the cycle, and that's it. Nothing more fancy than that, because all this fancy stuff just keeps breaking. It's breaking. My brother had a Toyota, a very nice Toyota SUV. The mirror got broken, and it's one of them mirrors that it'll fold in and it goes up and down. It has a heater in it and everything. Do you know what the price was to fix that? Just under $600. And that's us doing the work. Cody says it's planned obsolescence. Amen, brother. Planned obsolescence. So again, here we go with, you know, when I was a boy, a mirror was held on by two screws under the side of the driver's door. We didn't even have mirrors on the passenger side in many of the cars. But if you did, it was the same thing. The two mirrors were held on by two screws and probably cost about $10. So now we have these mirrors that will basically scratch your rear end for you, and they heat up and they melt ice. But when they break, almost $600, and that's if you do the work, which I did do. Okay? So me doing the work, the part alone was almost $600. If I had the dealership do it, it was going to be over $1,000 just to replace one rearview mirror on the side of the car. So again, you like all this high tech? Well, you're going to pay through the nose. Now, we're in a recession, and your money's not going to go very far. So maybe this is the Father trying to get us to realize we need to get back to the land. We need to get back to basics, as we've talked about on this show many times. We need to get back to where we rely on each other, and we learn to do some things ourselves. And you don't always have to have bright and shiny new. You don't have to have all the high-tech garbage. Because, again, high-tech doesn't last, and we don't really need it anyway. So if you're going to have to get something that's built better, and maybe it's low-tech. I would love to find a car that was built similar to my very first car that I got when I was in high school in the 1960s. It had very little features on it, but it was a damn nice car and never broke down. And when it did have problems, I could fix it myself. There was very little on that car I could not fix, even as a high school student. Very few things on the car I could not fix myself. So again, greed, our greed for money, but also our lusting after technology. And the enemy is using these against us. We need to grow up and realize that we don't need those things. I want to go to 1 Timothy 6 verses 7 through 10. For we came into the world with nothing, and we are not able to take anything out. Now that's the old saying. When I was a child, my elders used to talk about that all the time. You know, you came into this world naked, and you'll leave it naked. That's basically what it's saying. So we came into the world with nothing, and we're not able to take anything out with us, but if we have food and a roof over us, let that be enough. Now, did you hear what they said here? Okay. But if you have food and a roof over your head, let that be enough. Look at today. I was thinking about this not long ago. I live in relative poverty. My retirement is way below the poverty level. Thank goodness I'm a technician and know how to fix a lot of things myself, so I can stretch a dollar. But even at this level, I have things in my home. I have access to things that 100 or 150 years ago, only very wealthy people had access to. Now think about that for a minute. Okay, we have been spoiled terribly to where we think almost everything around us is a necessity, but really, is it a necessity? No, it's not. Certainly not worth you selling your soul to Satan's kids to obtain it, okay? Are these things nice to have? Yes, they are, but they can be produced cheaply. They can be produced without damaging the environment. They can be produced with renewable materials. They can be produced with materials that are disposable, such as hemp, which can make oil, and hemp can make plastics. I believe it was Henry Ford did the research and found out that hemp oil makes a better plastic than petroleum does. 5 times stronger, but hemp oil plastic is biodegradable. Why are we not using hemp? In fact, we should be using hemp for 1,000 different things, and not the least of which is to make paper. Hemp should be used to make clothing. Hemp oil is medicinal. It also can be used as a fuel. It can also be used to make plastics. And they do not hurt the environment. In fact, hemp is a cleanser of the environment. And they do not cost a lot of money. And they're not under the monopoly control of the Jew, at least not at the moment. Of course, they are buying up farmland, and so are the Chinese and every other anti-American force out there, because we have traitors in Washington and traitors in our state houses. Again, government control the mind. They want you to think that they are benevolent people for us. They are not. They are our enemies. Verse 9, but those who have a desire for wealth are falling into danger and are taken as in a net by a number of foolish and damaging desires, through which men are overtaken by death and destruction. And then verse 10, of course, is the one we all hear. For the love of money is a root of all evil. And some whose hearts were fixed on it have turned away from the faith and been wounded with unnumbered, meaning very many, sorrows. Look at the world today. Is it happy? The general, now the zombies, I'm talking about the zombies, the normies, the wokies out there that need to have their heads examined. They're absolutely insane. But are they happy? Of course they're not happy. Okay? They have fallen into this love of and desire for money, what is called money today. It's just digits created out of thin air in computers. They're willing to sell themselves for these electronic shekels the same way that Judas, who was a Jew, by the way, he was not a Benjaminite. Judas Iscariot. Iscariot is a Hebrew expression. Ish means male or man. Iscariot means a man of Kerioth, which was a suburb of Jerusalem where Jews lived. So Judas was just that, a Jew. He was not a Benjaminite. One of the 12 was a traitor to Messiah. And Judas sold out Messiah for 30 pieces of silver. So he actually committed his treason against Yeshua for real money. At least that was real. Our people today are selling themselves out for electronic shekels that at the flip of a switch on a computer can disappear, have no value. I just read an article where 400,000 Chinese, not all Chinese are communists, not all Chinese are our enemies. Okay? These poor souls, 400,000 of them, have had their life savings just stripped away by the banking institution in China. But here's the good news. That's 400,000 more soldiers in the army of the Father that's going to rise up in the latter days. You see, the enemy has been making enemies of them for decades and decades and decades and decades. Okay? We have reached the tipping point. They have murdered, raped, tortured, destroyed, displaced, disenfranchised so many people now that those who are awakening and those who are pissed off is becoming a vast and mighty army. Remember, they are few, we are many. The only reason that the few in the cabal get away with what they're doing is because of their death grip on media, on the flow of information. They keep us almost mind-numbingly propagandized with lies and deceptions. And one of them, of course, is that they want you to think that they have all the technology and there's no way a resistance can be made against them. That's a huge lie. Their days are numbered. The prophets told us that the sons of Satan and the son of perdition and his like kind would be very angry in the latter days, just before they come to their end. And that's why they're angry, because they've had a free ride for so long. Their lies and deceptions worked perfectly for them. They were able to get away with all the theft and the murder, rape, and everything else that they've committed against humankind. They've gotten away with it for so long. They've gotten lazy. They've made mistakes. But also our Heavenly Father has opened the platforms up for the free flow of information so that they could be exposed. Hallelujah. Internet radio, of course, being one of the platforms that's allowing for this exposure. Okay? It takes two things. It takes those willing to do what we do here and broadcast His truth, but it takes the listeners, the people at large, desiring to know the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So, as we look around us, we see so many people have done literally that. They have sold out for the love of money and the love of things. On the list of people that have sold out, and again, this is not all-inclusive. There are people within these professions and in these categories that I'm going to list here. Of course, there are those who are waking up out of it, but there have been many in these organizations that have literally sold their souls to the devil. In the medical professions, both as nurses and doctors, but also as medical content creators, also medical administrators like at hospitals and in different so-called healthcare organizations when all they're not at all. Corporate executives, many of them, sold themselves out. Advertisement people, sellouts. The major media, sellouts. Here's the category of the one that's the most embarrassing. So-called men of God, preachers and pastors, sold out. Where have they been in the past 2.5 years? Where have they been since 1974 with Roe v. Wade and the murdering of the babies? Where have they been? Oh, they've been carrying on quite nicely, haven't they? Your mainstream denominations, who are the daughter of the great whore, known as the Roman Catholic Church, okay, many in that group, sold out. The Roman Catholic Church and its demons, sold out. Your teachers and schools, sold out. Entertainment individuals and organizations, sold out. Sports figures, for the most part, sold out. Okay, again, you were told by the beast to watch the image controlled by the beast, your flat screens. Your flat screens were telling you these are all trusted voices. You can trust these people. The government people, etc., all sold out. All sold out. All of them. But the beast puts them in front of your face on your flat screens constantly, trying to convince you that they have your best interests at heart. And it's amazing how many times they make a mistake. You know, when your enemy's making a mistake, don't interfere. You ever heard that one? Okay. Isn't it odd? And many people are starting to point this out. Almost every time there's a creature on the flat screen lying to you about this non-existent COVID, lying to you about what the pharmaceuticals are doing, lying to you about what's going on in Ukraine, lying to you about almost everything. How many times the person on that screen lying to you is a Jew? I'm talking about a genetic Jew. I don't care about, like, Nancy Pelosi claiming to be Catholic. That's about the most ridiculous thing. But she could actually do that since the Jews control the Catholic Church, and they have ever since the Jesuits have been around. Okay? That's been centuries ago. So she literally could be part of the Catholic Church, and it wouldn't interfere with her being Jewish at all. Just like our Supreme Court, it's all Jews and Catholics. That's just side A and side B of the same communist people. All right? Jews are communists, and the Catholics are communists. They're certainly not friends of ours. In fact, if you go back and look at the history books, and I remember when I was younger and I read the books about it, Catholics were not welcome here. the founders of this country, predominantly Protestant, they did not trust Catholics because of their adherence to worshiping a man, which is a violation of God's law in the form of a pope. They called it popery, and they considered the pope the Antichrist, or at least a form of the Antichrist. And the pope often is. He's blaspheming the laws of God. We are not to give that kind of worship and power and allegiance to an earthly figure of any kind. And yet the whole Catholic Church is built upon that, much as the people who have been deceived by Judaism worship their rabbis and the Talmud. Completely erroneous. People should be able to see that. The Creator is watching over this. He has pointed his leaders, and he has appointed his prophets for the latter days. That's coming out. Babylon is about ready to fall. The institutions will fall, not because we deserve it. Oh my God, no. We don't deserve it at all. But because this is his plan, halagos in the Greek language, halagos. In your Bibles, they call it the word. But that's not what logos means. Logos means spoken word, not written word. It means spoken word. It's the same word that we get the English word logic from. But logos was the spoken word, and it was also a plan, because intelligence, human intelligence, is required for both. The animal kingdom cannot speak. Okay? Halagos, the spoken word. Only man has the spoken word. And the same thing goes for plans. The animal kingdom responds to things by instinct. They don't sit around in a circle and make plans. So our Heavenly Father has a halagos, or a plan, that is going to play out upon this earth. It has a purpose. You and I are here for a purpose, each and every one of us. We are here to be tested according to that plan. One of the things that Dr. Lee Merritt and Dr. Philip Glidden were talking in that interview, they did mention scriptural references from time to time, but Dr. Glidden, to his credit, was talking about the fact that when in science or medicine you study the behavior of the human body, it is a miraculous machine. Miraculous. The sheer number of things that go on, even at the cellular level within the body, completely destroys the notion that we're here by accident. Destroys it. On that one platform alone, you can hang your hat on the fact that we are created beings. We are not here by accident. We are created beings. Many of us have a spiritual connection with each other. Very strong spiritual connection. Some people call it a vibration. Some people call it a chemistry thing. You call it whatever you want, but it is a vibration of energy between souls, where we connect. We can feel it when we communicate. Sometimes when that happens, it's strictly like over the phone even. It can happen because of the vibration of your voice. Okay? It can be through touch, which if you're close together, but even in long distance, you can pick up the vibrations. It's a spiritual connection. That's why it is so strong many times within family members, especially if they are a strong believing family. Now, all of us have family members who don't fit that description at all, but that's because they have, as the scripture said there, they have walked away from the faith. Because Father's not going to work with you if you don't A, believe in him, if you don't worship him, if you don't acknowledge him. Think about the family here on earth. The family unit here is built upon the biblical unit and the biblical model of a father and his children. That's why we call him our Heavenly Father, okay? We are his creations or his children, just as you have children upon this earth. Now, I have 6 children through 2 wives, okay? And I love these children. So I can understand this relationship quite well. I understand, I love all 6 of them. Love them very much. But all 6 of them do not return the respect and love towards me that I have for them. Okay? So in our society, it's much the same way. Our Heavenly Father created us. He wants to see us appreciate that creation and give us or give him our attention and our obedience. That's what he expects from us. Well, I expected that from my 6 children. I raised them the same. I fed them the same. I had they all had a clothing allowance. They all got proper bathing and love and attention and care. But they don't all reflect gratitude back for what was done for them. Some do, some don't. Well, what do you think our Heavenly Father thinks about us? Do you think he sits up there and just says, well, I'm going to forgive them no matter what they say. I'm going to save them all. Or do you think he says, well, this is where I'm going to find out those that truly love me and those that don't? Because I have a plan. And that plan means that I only want the best of my people to go into what I'm going to perform with them on the other side. It would be the same with my family, my children. I'm not going to worry about leaving an inheritance or building up anything for the non-responsive and the ones who show disdain and disrespect. No. That's not my job. I know some people out there say, oh, they're your children. You got to love them. No, you don't. That's bullshit. That's just total bullshit. I will love them when they, all love should have conditions. It really should. All love should. Especially for us men. We're not like mothers. Now, mothers can kind of lean onto that unconditional love thing because that's the way they're built. Because when they're babies, they got to be very non-discriminatory and give them all care, et cetera, et cetera. Where we men aren't built that way. We expect conditions to be met. Now, the basic love is there, such as in the prodigal son, that if you repent and come back into alignment with the family unit, well then, okay, now you will get the respect you deserve and support and protection that you deserve. Exactly. But if you're going to stay disobedient, if you're going to stay headstrong and not show the proper respect to the head of the household, well, then you're not going to get those things. First of all, that's insulting the children who are doing it right. Well, the Father in heaven is no different. Why would he give salvation to everybody when the children that love him are working very hard to earn their salvation, so to speak, when the others don't? Now, don't get me wrong. You can't work your way into being passed over to the other side and into the kingdom. You can't do that. When I say working to that, I'm talking about in a father-son relationship. As I worked for my father, I worked for his, approval. I worked for his approval and his, I wouldn't call it worship. I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted him to see that I honored him and that I was going to take his teachings and the things that he had given me as a child, and I was going to turn them into something and make something of myself so that he would be proud. I wanted to earn his respect and love. I wanted to earn that. What's much the same way with our Heavenly Father. When I say earn, I want to earn his saying, enter in my good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. He's not going to give those words to just anybody. Enter in my good and faithful servant. I've wanted to hear those words since I was a little boy. I've spent my life trying to be the kind of man that he would say, enter in, Daniel, my good and faithful servant. Much as I wanted to hear my father say, you're a good boy, Danny. When I played hard in baseball or football, I wanted to hear Dad say, you did good today, son. If we were plowing a field or mowing hay or taking care of the cattle, I wanted to hear him say, you did a good job today, Danny. That's the kind of earning I'm talking about. I couldn't earn my way in strictly, because that just doesn't even make sense. The earning came from a sincere desire that my Creator, whether it's my earthly father or my heavenly father, it's my desire that they are proud of me, that I appreciate my even being here, that I want to accomplish something for the kingdom. I want to accomplish something for all of those that I love and care for. Why else even be here? That's what I want. We're going to go to Revelation chapter 18, which is under the subtitle The Fall of Babylon. Again, now Babylon comes from the Hebrew word Babel. And thank you, Ella. So Babel in Hebrew and Babel or Babylon in Greek are the same word, meaning the same thing. It's confusion. Now, it's not just any confusion. It's confusion caused by admixture. Now, you might be saying, well, what the hell are you talking about, Dan? Admixture is when you bring things together that don't belong together, such as race mixing, such as God's law and man's law, okay? The teachings of the mainstream churches versus what the Yeshua actually taught and what the Holy Spirit testifies to. They are in contradiction to each other. You see what I mean? So Babylon represents a confusion. As you look out your windows when you walk the streets of America, tell me there aren't confused people out there. They don't even know what sex they are. They don't even know what bathroom to use. Are they confused? Yeah, because you're mixing Jewish Kabbalism and teachings of the Talmud in with the teachings of the true God above, which are contradictory to one another. Completely contradictory. So you have confusion because of this admixture. You have the children of the Most High, who is the Adamic race, and the other races who come into alignment with Yahweh's law, they can receive a blessing as well, much like the woman in the book of Matthew. Okay? And then you have those who are outside of his law, who have no respect for it. Okay? The confusion is that the governments of this world are operating under Talmudic law. They're all run by Jews. Okay? Just like France, Macron, you've got Trudeau in Canada, you've got Biden and all of his Zionist pieces of shit in Washington. But then again, Trump had his Zionist pieces of shit as well. Okay? They've been in Washington dictating things for decades and decades and decades. Again, an admixture of what this nation was founded on, upon the teachings of the Scripture and the teachings of the Christ, versus the Talmudic lies of the Satanic Jew. They are admixture. they cannot go together. They cannot exist in the same space. They are completely antithetical to each other. So we have Babylon. You're living in Babylon right now. You're in this confused state where all of this admixture is going on. So in chapter 18, we read about this fall of Babylon. After these things, I saw another angelos, meaning a messenger, coming down out of the sky or the heavens, having great authority, and the earth was bright with his glory. And he gave a loud cry, saying, Babylon the Great has come down from her high place. She has come to destruction and has become a place of evil spirits and of every unclean spirit and a hole, H-O-L-E, for every unclean and hated bird. Kind of describing what the condition of this world is today, correct? For through the vine or wine of the wrath of her evil desires, well, here we go again, okay? For through the wine, as in what you drink, the wine of the wrath of her evil desires. Now, picture these small hat wearing creatures of Satan and their evil desires, and because of this wrath, they're full of anger and hatred for all of us. We're all just animals and slaves to them, okay? So through the wine of the wrath of her evil desires, all the nations have come to destruction. Now this word nation here can be countries and or ethnic groups of people. So all the peoples of the world are coming to destruction under this heavy-handed anti-Christ dictatorial control by these creatures from hell. And the kings of the earth, okay, who's that? Your prime ministers, your members of parliament, your members of Congress, etc. Basically, it means the earthly governmental people. The kings of the earth made themselves unclean with her. And the traders, meaning the merchants, your corporatocracy, your corporate leaders of the earth, had their wealth increased by the power of her evil ways. Do you think the corporate world, such as in Monsanto and these pharmaceutical companies that are making billions, if not trillions, polluting the soil, polluting your food, hybridizing your food, genetically modifying your food, and then putting these poisonous fertilizers and insecticides and all this other bullshit on your food, do you think they're getting rich by going along with these Jewish programs? Look at the WHO and CDC and all these other Jewish-run organizations getting rich by forcing everybody to do and put things into their body that's produced by another set of Jews who own the pharmaceutical companies. It's kind of funny. The Jews are telling us what's good to do for our bodies, and it's another group of Jews that are just so happens producing all the things that they're, this other group's telling us is good for us. Nothing to see here, is there? Conflict of interest? You better believe there is. And another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her. Now, what are they saying? Come out of the confusion. Come out of this Babylonian system. Come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins and in her punishments. Now, her sins are what? Violations of God's law. The Jewish religion is 100% violation of God's law. They don't worship the God of the Bible. They worship Satan. The whole Talmud is full of satanic bullshit. Okay? So her sins, meaning transgressions of his law, they're getting our people into that. And it's this here admonition is, come out of her so that you don't take part of her sins and in her punishment. Why is there punishment? Well, because Psalm 149 says that that's what we're here for. It's the honor of his saints to bring the punishments written upon the wicked. You think that's coming up here pretty soon? Verse 5, for her sins, transgressions, have gone up even to heaven, and Yahweh God has taken note of her evil doing. And then here's what he has to say about it. Give to her as she gave, even an increased reward for her works. In other words, give her back what she's dished out to us. In the cup which was mixed by her, let there be mixed as much again for herself. In other words, tit for tat. The Jews have raped this planet. No, I shouldn't say planet, but raped this earth. They have raped the wealth of this earth. They have raped the people of this earth for centuries. And now it's time for the cup to be mixed, that their wealth be taken from them. Their power, which is in the world economic system, their power should be stripped from them. As she gave glory to herself, meaning this Babylonian whore, and became more evil in her ways, in the same measure give her pain and weeping. For she says in her heart, I am seated here a queen, and am no widow, and will in no way see sorrow. Well, that's your typical Jew. They don't believe they should have to suffer for anything. Okay? Remember that Madeleine Albright, that troll, when she said that it was worth it killing 500,000 children in the Middle East? Because to a Jew, if somebody offends them so much as causing them to break a fingernail, 500,000 deaths is nothing. For this reason, in one day, hold on a minute. For this reason, in one day will her troubles come, death and sorrow and need of food, and she will be completely burned with fire. Can you say Obadiah verse 18? For strong is Yahweh God, who is her judge. And the kings of the earth, who made themselves unclean with her, and in her company gave themselves up to evil, will be weeping and crying over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Yeah, because they deserve the same punishment. Watching from far away for fear of her punishment, saying, sorrow, sorrow for Babylon, the great city, the great town, for in 1 hour, which actually in the Greek it's just a short period of time, you have been judged. Now we hear, and the traders of the earth, meaning the merchants, the corporatocracy folks, are weeping and crying over because no man has any more desire for their goods. Exactly what we were just talking about. We need to stop worshiping these people and spending gobs of money for their junk. Get back to making things ourselves or buying things from local vendors and local skilled craftsmen that can know how to make something that lasts. A good case in point, I've got a cast iron skillet that I cook eggs in right now. A cast iron skillet, solid black. Looks like the day it was made, and it's the same cast iron skillet that my mother's mother cooked eggs and other meals for the family that long ago. So my mother's mother, my grandmother on my mother's side, used that same skillet, and it's still 100% usable. It's got the black finish on it now. It's been seasoned, so it's nonstick, and yet it's cast iron. Cast iron. Still here. My grandmother used it. And then my mother used it her entire life, and after her passing, it came to me. That same skillet. Do you see the difference? instead of buying stuff over and over again because it's junk. It's junk. Gold and silver and stones of great price and jewels and delicate linen and robes of purple and silk and red and perfumed wood and every vessel of ivory and every vessel made of fair wood and of brass and iron and stone and the sweet-smelling plants and perfumes and wine and oil and well-crushed grain and cattle and sheep and horses and carriages and servants, and the souls of men. And the fruit of your soul's desire has gone from you, and all things delicate and shining have come to an end and will never again be seen. The merchants in these things by which their wealth was increased will be watching far off for fear of her punishment, weeping and crying. I'm going to go ahead and stop it there and let you finish it if you wish, the rest of Revelation 18. But the fall of Babylon, you can see it. We're living it. We're living the hell that comes when you are disobedient, folks. Our ancestors, many, many years ago, asked for a man-made government, called it a king. They didn't want Yahweh to rule over them. And so Yahweh allowed us to make that mistake. Just as my children, when they wanted to do things, they didn't want to listen to me. There were times I went ahead and let them do it because I knew what would happen. They were going to fall flat on their face. But sometimes that's the best lesson learned, isn't it? The one that hurts you the most is the best lesson. The one that you will remember for a very long time. We as Adam kind upon this earth have been violating his rules. We've turned our back on our Father, and now we live in the hell that comes from that disobedience. So obviously the solution is to reverse it, to become contrite in spirit, to weep out in repentance to the Father and beg his mercy and to beg his forgiveness for our insolence and for turning our backs on the one who gave us life, the one who wants the very best for us, and instead give our allegiance to a bunch of corrupt miscreants walking in shoe leather, the merchants of the world, the Kabbalists, whatever term you want to use for these monsters that live in constant prey upon us, constantly looking to steal and to destroy us, simply because they can. They never have enough money. They never have enough wealth. They never have enough materialism. They want it all. They want you to have absolutely nothing. That piece of shit called Klaus Schwab, another kike, says that you'll own nothing but and you'll be happy. Why? Because if you're not happy owning nothing, they will execute you, just like Jewish communists have done for over 100 years. That's their forte, is to destroy a culture and a land and steal the wealth of it, and then when the people rise up in protest of it, to go in and murder them until what's left cower before the Jew. Is that what you want for your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, you guys? You lions out there? Is that what you really want, you military and police guys? Is that what you want, the communists to take over and bring this in? Oh, I know. You were told that that's not going to happen to you, right? Just go along with the communist takeover and you'll be one of the chosen that get to sit at the table with the Jew. Yeah, and you believe them. The people that can't tell the truth if you put a gun up against their head and you believe them? You actually think they're going to share any of this with you? You haven't been reading their textbooks, have you? You haven't read their Talmud. You haven't listened to their speeches, and you sure as hell haven't studied any history. because it's all over the place. If you read the people that have lived through their pogroms before, these people have no intention of sharing anything with you. And yet you're turning against your own kind, your own country, and your own race to satisfy a Jew because you think somehow you're going to escape. The good news is that we are going to be around to see you when you wake up one day going, how did this happen to me? If you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. That's right. You lay down with a Jewish dog, a communist dog, and you're going to get up with fleas. That's the test. Do you want wealth? Do you want to just live, even though your life is meaningless, and you're willing to sell yourself out for that? Is that what you want? Again, that's what the test's all about. That's what it's all about. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for allowing us to finally get back up on the air. We just pray that those that are listening will continue to grow in their wisdom, in their faith in you, in their reverence of you, in their repentance of going down the wrong path, and to get back on the straight and narrow, which is only happens when we obey you. Love you and obey you as our Heavenly Father. There is much that needs to be fixed in this world, and we know, Father Yahweh, that it's easily fixable. It just takes we, the people, willing to stand up and take away the support from these miscreants and these monsters that are running the show now, and give it to the righteous men that are willing to lead our people out of this mischief. Bring us into this world that you wanted for us, that is full of goodness and health and prosperity for each and every one of us, and not living under the thumb of some group of people that think they should be our Lord and Master. We did ask for this, Father, not us in this day and age, but our ancestors. They asked for this, and we suffer under it. The sins of our Father is visited upon us. We just want you to know that we, their children, your sons and daughters, repent of that. We no longer want man-made government. We don't want any of this charade that poses to be some kind of benefactor to us when they are actually evil and corrupt as hell. We know that we cannot come into what you envision for us without our obedience to you and you alone. We just pray, Father Yahweh, that again you will be with us and guide us in all we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom. And as always, Father Yahweh, please protect us from our enemies. We ask these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
El rey del mundo. hermosos deseos y apartado de tus dones. Libérame de mi maldad, bendíceme con tu bondad. Sosténme, Dios, en tu gracia, amante dulce del alma.
Thank you. right through to my heart.
I'm not afraid. Everybody wants one shining moment. Hit the big time, be a star. But you don't have to make a big show if you wanna be a hero. You can do it no matter who you are.
If you wanna be somebody, do something. Find a worthy
never belonged to a family. And Susie Crawford is hungry tonight. Henderson's used to have a farm. Now they're living in an old car. You wanna be a hero? Now's the time.
If you wanna be somebody, do something. Find a worthy cause, then dive in. Whoa, 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 you could feed somebody. Lend a helping hand. If you wanna be somebody, don't just stand there, do something.
If you put your heart into something, then till the end of time, the star you are will shine.
If you wanna be somebody, do something, find a worthy cause, then dive in. Whoa, 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 you could feed somebody
and be somebody.
Lend a help. Somebody, don't just stand there, do something. If you wanna
be somebody,
do something. Find a worthy cause, then dive in. Whoa, 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 you could feed somebody,
be somebody,
and a helping hand. If you wanna be somebody, stand there, do something.
This sacred ground deserves my all. No less for God or freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. It was purchased with the blood of patriots, consecrated for liberty, protected through the generations. Now the future rests with me. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. Who will answer the cry for warriors
within the battle line. Who will lift up a prayer for courage? Who will bury me if I die? This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, for freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. If I should die, watch your shed no tears for me, for I will be among the angels who've given all to keep all free. This sacred ground deserves my all, no less for God, freedom's call. And if my life be laid down, let it be on sacred ground. And if my